The God King and Awabath sent no more prisoners to the place, and gradually Arha ceased to dream of the three now long since dead and buried in shallow graves in the great cavern under the tombstones. She summoned up her courage to return to that cavern. She must go back there. The priestess of the tombs must be able to enter her own domain without terror, to know its ways. The first time she entered the trapdoor was hard, yet not so hard as she had feared. She had schooled herself up to it so well, had so determined that she would go alone and keep her nerve, that when she came there, she was almost dismayed to find that there was nothing to be afraid of. Graves might be there, but she could not see them. She could not see anything. It was black. It was silent. And that was all. Day after day she went there, entering by the trap door in the room behind the throne, until she knew well the whole circuit of the cavern, with its strange sculptured walls, as well as one can know what one cannot see. She never left the walls, for in striking out across the great hollow, she might soon lose the sense of direction in the darkness, and so, blundering back at last to the wall, not know where she was. For as she had learned the first time, the important thing down in the dark places was to know which turnings and openings one had passed, and which were to come. It must be done by counting, for they were all alike to the groping hands. Arha's memory had been well trained, and she found no difficulty to this odd trick of finding one's way by touch and number, instead of by sight and common sense. She soon knew by heart all the corridors that opened off the under-tomb, the lesser maze that lay under the hall of the throne and the hilltop. But there was one corridor she never entered, the second, left of the red rock entrance. That one which, if she entered mistaking it for one she knew, she might never find her way out of again. Her longing to enter it, to learn the labyrinth, grew steadily, but she restrained it until she had learned all she could about it above ground. Thar knew little about it, but the names of certain of its rooms, and the list of directions, of turns made and missed for getting to these rooms. She would tell these to Arha, but she would never draw them in the dust or even with the gesture of a hand in the air, and she herself had never followed them, had never entered the labyrinth. But when Arha asked her, "What is the way from the iron door that stands open to the painted room?" or "How does the way run from the room of bones to the tunnel by the river?" then Thar would be silent a little, and then recite the strange directions she had learned long before from Arha that was. So many crossings passed, so many left-hand turns taken, and so on, and so on. And all these Arha got by heart, as Thar had, often on the first listening. When she lay in bed nights, she would repeat them to herself, trying to imagine the places, the rooms, the turnings. Thar showed Arha the many spy holes that opened into the maze, in every building and temple of the place, and even under rocks out of doors. The spider web of stone-walled tunnels underlay all the place, and even beyond its walls. There were miles of tunnels down there in the dark. No person there but she, the two high priestesses, and their special servants, the eunuchs Manon, Uato, and Dubi, knew of the existence of this maze that lay beneath every step they took. There were vague rumors of it among the others. They all knew that there were caves or rooms of some sort under the tombstones, but none of them was very curious about anything to do with the nameless ones and the places sacred to them. Perhaps they felt that the less they knew, the better. Arha, of course, had been intensely curious, and knowing that there were spy holes into the labyrinth, had sought for them. Yet they were so well concealed, in the pavements of the floors or in the desert ground, that she had never found one, not even the one in her own small house, until Thar showed it to her. One night in early spring, she took a candle lantern and went down with it, unlit, through the undertomb to the second passage to the left of the passage from the red rock door. In the dark, she went some 30 paces down the passage, and then passed through a doorway, feeling the iron frame set in the rock, the limit, until now, of her explorations. Past the iron door, she went a long way down the tunnel, and when at last it began to curve to the right, she lit her candle and looked about her. For light was permitted here. She was no longer in the undertomb. She was in a place less sacred, though perhaps more dreadful. She was in the labyrinth. The raw, blank walls and vault and floor of rock surrounded her in the small sphere of candlelight. The air was dead. Before her and behind her, the tunnel stretched off into darkness. All the tunnels were the same, crossing and recrossing. She kept careful count of her turnings and passings, and recited Thar's directions to herself, though she knew them perfectly. For it would not do to get lost in the labyrinth. In the undertomb and the short passages around it, Kossel or Thar might find her, or Manon come seeking for her, for she had taken him there several times. Here, none of them...